Scripture reading is from Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through chapter 8, verse 8. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Let us pray. Oh Lord, where your word goes forth, things happen, and the joy of Christ comes forth. We pray that will be so among us here today as we listen to your word, and it works in our lives and in our church and through us into the community. Help us now in our listening and in our faithfulness in following what you say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Earlier in my children's sermon, I mentioned the organization Open Doors that provides support to persecuted Christians worldwide. They recently released what they call their World Watch List. This one for 2022, it's an annual ranking of the top 50 countries where it's most dangerous to be a Christian. For the past 20 years, North Korea ranked number one. But this year they moved in second behind Afghanistan. Afghanistan and North Korea, Somalia, Libya, Yemen. And as you work your way through that list, you see that the source of persecution varies. Sometimes it's religious extremism. Sometimes it's political oppression. Sometimes religious nationalism. Sometimes it's totalitarianism. Sometimes it's corruption or organized crime, which just goes to show us that hostility to the gospel and opposition to the followers of Jesus can take many forms and come in various ways. I'm thinking that had Open Doors existed when Luke was writing what we hear about in the book of Acts today, I'm sure it would have been reported. This persecution that broke out against the followers of Jesus there in Jerusalem. In today's text, First of all, hostility towards Stephen's ministry reaches a boiling point, and he's martyred for his proclamation of salvation through Christ. But this attempt to silence the gospel actually ends up promoting the spread of the Word of God into other regions. According to Luke, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. What an ironic kind of statement. Those who had been persecuted preached the word wherever they went. That statement signals that we're entering a new chapter here in this story that Luke is telling, this story about the advancement of the gospel beyond the familiar confines of Jerusalem, the holy city. I like the way that one commentator has put it when he said, persecution does not stop proclamation. God's living word, we learn, can't be halted. His commitment to the salvation of humankind can't be subverted. Opposition in one region creates opportunity in another region. Instead of shrinking, it turns out that the gospel map expands. The map of redemption grows. What begins looking primarily like disruption gets turned into mission in God's presence and purposes. Disruption gets turned into mission. Now, during the last couple of years, we've learned plenty about disruption, including within the life of the church. Our congregation has experienced lots of scatteredness. That's one of the words that's come to mind most often to me in the experience in the life of the church over the past couple of years. Scattered congregation, scattered churches. I'm not trying really to put our hardships on a par with the kind of suffering or deprivation that millions of Christians are going through in different parts of the world because of their faith in Jesus Christ and what they're enduring for the sake of the gospel. But we ourselves have been through and continue to go through a season of distress in which so much of church life has been uprooted in different ways, unsettled, scattered. COVID-19 has created various kinds of barriers that have distanced us from one another. Our gathering to hear the Word of God, not only gathering to hear the Word of God, but our going forth to spread the Word of God, have come up against obstacles and challenges that we never really would have anticipated. It feels like in so many ways the pandemic has pushed back against our witness in whatever forms we may want to pursue it or go forward in it, threatening who we are and what we do as God's people. But the good news is that through it all, even when it feels like we haven't been able to do things that we often like to do, especially as a church, that doesn't mean that God has stopped doing things, as we heard in today's reading from Isaiah. God's word is still going forth, accomplishing what he desires, achieving the purpose for which he sends it. COVID-19 hasn't, in that respect, silenced the word of Christ in our midst. We still gather in the presence of Christ to listen to the word of Christ, to proclaim Christ. It's true that our congregational environment has changed a lot during this whole experience. Adjustments in some of our programming, changes in certain ways we've done our worship service, using technology in other ways, in greater ways. There have been stretches of time when our church is closed and then opportunities we've had to reopen. But during it all, the good news is that when we've closed or when we've reopened, God has never ceased operations during any of that. The kingdom of God has been up and running 24/7, 365. His mission of redemption hasn't changed. You think back to that martyrdom of Stephen in our text, who looked and saw Jesus at the right hand of God in triumph and glory and victory. Well, Jesus has still been at the right hand of God and triumph and victory and glory during all of this experience. He's just as much now at the right hand of God as he was prior to March 2020. About a year ago, a reporter for the British newspaper, The Telegraph, wrote about a minister who took the good news of Jesus Christ to the streets. It was the first week of the lockdown there in England, and lots of folks weren't sure what the Church of England was going to do in response to this. But a minister named Pat Allerton had what he called a brainwave, and folks began to nickname him the walking priest because he decided basically to take the service out into the streets. A prayer, a song, a 60-second sermon, don't get any ideas now. You'd take this song and a prayer and the 60-second sermon out into the streets. He wasn't sure really how folks would respond initially. He thought a lot of folks would just tell him to get lost or disappear, but they didn't. He says, "I was amazed by the response. People were really moved. They clapped and invited me back." They probably regret that now, he says. "I believe God was coming alongside people, letting them know he's there." And over the following weeks, thanks especially to reasonably good weather, he did 64 of these worship services in the streets. Invite people out to stand on their balcony or come to their doorway and pray, sing, hear the word of God. He was amazed at the response. So many people, he says, commented on social media saying things like, "I'm not religious, but I've got goosebumps. There are tears coming down my face. God's presence was touching people." How encouraging is to think about the fact that during a time when we've had to be so careful and cautious about our proximity to other people, God has been busy touching people in fresh ways, through new means that we might not have considered or contemplated before. We've been focused a lot on social distancing, but the fact is, in many different kinds of ways, God has been drawing near, not social distancing, often by methods and means that we wouldn't have previously considered. And some of these innovations have happened within the context of congregational worship. You may think back to when the pandemic was first getting underway. Some churches pivoted to drive-in or drive-through worship or outdoor services. Some ministers, like Reverend Allerton I mentioned, took their ministry to the streets. Many congregations adopted virtual worship gatherings or live streaming their worship services. Those are just a few examples of how the scatteredness that came about with COVID-19, this scatteredness of the church, actually created an atmosphere that invited and encouraged change and innovation. Change that actually ended up in some ways expanding the reach of the gospel and the range of the gospel ministry. In many ways, like I said earlier, disruption got turned into mission. A few months into the pandemic, there was one pastor who wrote an article titled, "Church Will Never Be the Same." And that's good. That was the whole title. "Church Will Never Be the Same." And that's good. He captured the opportunities and the moment well when he said, "It's common to be a bit nervous about the host of challenges that will face the gathered church for the foreseeable future, but not all change is bad. Leveraged correctly, this disorientation brought about by the pandemic can foster rethinking priorities, focusing again on areas where focus needs to be given in ways that brings out the best in God's people for the work of the gospel." It's interesting really to look back over the past couple of years and to see how some of the things that he was foreseeing and forecasting have taken shape in congregations For instance, he stressed how churches shouldn't aim primarily at getting back to old patterns or returning the congregation to what it used to be. In other words, we shouldn't concentrate most of our time and energy on trying to get back to normal. Or, well, if we can just get back the church that we used to have, the way it used to be, not making that the primary focus or aim, though regathering and reassembling and rebuilding in various kinds of ways is important. Instead, like he emphasizes, this has become a season to reevaluate, refocus. It's a time to reflect on how we can still pursue the same mission, but in fresh ways or new ways. It's a time to consider new methods, maybe, for reaching more people. It's a time for you in your own life as an individual or in your own home to explore ways that you can serve others or bear your witness for Christ beyond church programs that may not even be operating anymore. So it's an opportunity and a challenge for us beyond the walls of the church too. It's a time to cultivate, he says, a deeper sense of appreciation for the spiritual disciplines, the holy habits that have helped get you and your family and our church through the past couple of years, and to think about how much those kinds of things that we were just doing habitually or routinely before the pandemic have actually sustained us during it, and how much we can look back and think about how we appreciate those spiritual disciplines and holy habits that sustain us in all seasons of life. It's that kind of season. It's also been a season, I think, for leaders in the church, in the congregation, to grow in what it means to step up and help lead in the church and do what needs to be done to mature in what it's like to actually shepherd a flock of people in a church through a situation and a set of circumstances like this. It's that kind of time. It's a time to look really too beyond just what our own congregation can do, but begin to think about what can we do in collaboration or partnership with other churches, not just trying to do it on our own, but in partnership with other congregations, in collaboration with them, in order to participate in God's mission in the world, the spread of the gospel and the advancement of the kingdom. Like you've seen this morning and over the past couple of months, one of the ways that we're able to do that is through our gifts too, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. Your gifts get joined with the gifts of other people in this congregation, and then the gift of our church and its offering gets joined with the offering from other congregations to provide resources and support for our missionaries. That's a great example of how we promote the gospel and advance the kingdom together with other people in your church and among churches. So it's not just a matter going forward of what can our church do, but it's what can our church do if we connect more with other churches in partnership with those congregations. There are a couple of missionaries I want to mention this morning who are supported by your gifts that we've been sharing, especially through the Lottie Moon offering. They serve among refugee communities in Durban, South Africa. And one of those refugees, whose name has been changed for security purposes, her name is Kara. Her family in Burundi has essentially disowned her because of her faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, she's even received harassing phone calls from her own family saying, "You're dead to us now," because of her faith in Christ. But in the midst of persecution and fear, Kara has actually grown in her reliance upon God's sovereign love and his purposes. She and her husband and children are now part of an international resettlement program through the United Nations that's going to place them in Canada in a new home. And so out of that experience, our missionary, supported by our gifts there in South Africa, Julie wrote this. She said, "These folks, Kara and her family, have been such a vital part of God's work with us. We can't be sad, though, because their hearts are glad. And once again, as it often happens with transient refugees, we raise up and help them by watering and growing God's children, and then find that God relocates them in His plan to go and be missionaries and lights in other places." Go back to our scripture today. Luke says, those who had been scattered preached the word of God wherever they went, wherever they ended up. Praise be to God today for how He takes experiences of hardship and disruption and dislocation and unsettledness and scatteredness and uses them to advance His kingdom and to spread the gospel in ways that we, with our human perception and understanding and vision, may have never considered or anticipated or prepared for. Back in 2005, following Hurricane Katrina, there was a reporter who went to New Orleans, newspaper reporter, and started to research and write about churches that had been scattered by what had happened during that hurricane and that storm. And one of those churches was White Dove Fellowship International Outreach Center. Their pastor was Reverend Michael Mill. It was a church that normally had 3,000 people in attendance on Sunday. And that first Sunday after the hurricane, Reverend Mill preached to 300 that they still had left there. He offered a unique Christian perspective on the tragedy and how it affected his congregation when he said, "Well, turns out now we have successfully replanted people all across the United States." And then he went on to note, We used to sing, "Jesus is all we need, and now He's all we've got." That experience, going through that kind of season and experience of dislocation and scatteredness, helps them and helps us too to continue to rely upon the fact that the presence of Jesus is what makes the church the church. Whatever else happens and whatever other circumstances arise, and that Jesus is with us as well as we continue to take steps forward in the life and ministry of our church. And I think that too, like those folks whom persecution scattered out of Jerusalem and into new territory, we'll continue to carry the reconciling love and this message of the gospel to other people in other ways, wherever our church eventually lands and begins to look like. We'll continue to carry this good news of God's reconciling love with us. Remember, as we've seen in our scripture today and in these stories and testimonies and from the thank yous from all of our missionaries, remember again today how God can take disruption and scatteredness and turn it into mission and new life in Christ. That's really the conviction that we continue to operate on. It's the conviction on which our church council is going to gather today following the worship service. We'll seek the wisdom of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit about how our church should take further steps forward, especially as we look out further into 2022. And what we need of you is to join us really in that process. Join us with your prayers as we seek to discern what those steps will look like so God can take scatteredness and turn it further into mission. Join us with your prayers. Join us by your basic availability and presence to God and to His church about what God wants to do in your life and how God wants to use you to advance His kingdom through the life and mission of our church, and how you can be available to God so that He can take the scatteredness we've experienced and turn it into mission for His glory. Let's pray together about that right now, in fact. God, whose sovereign love and plans and purposes are beyond our comprehension, but you promise us that what you've started in Christ, you'll bring to completion. We thank you for how you have been present and at work doing things over these past couple of years, and that in the midst of our scatteredness and our distancing, you've actually come near in unique and fresh ways. We ask your guidance now for our whole church, especially our church council, as we discern the direction of your Holy Spirit and the steps we need to take moving forward into what you want us to be and do. We pray that wherever our church lands and whatever we look like after all of this has passed, that you'll use it to spread your word, advance your kingdom, reach more people with the gospel, and lift up the name of Jesus Christ in glory to yourself. We just ask this now in the name of Jesus. As we continue to reflect on and respond to God's word today, we welcome anyone who needs to reach out to me or to one of our deacons about God's call and work in your life. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to commit your life to follow